Somebody just called from the Solomon Islands. Said they would be in the cathedral in a few weeks. We're getting calls from all over the world. This is the only voice heard round the whole world, every square inch covered in the world. I wish there were 10,000 doing the same thing, but they're not. This is it. Now I'm going to read from the Westminster pulpit. As you see those Jesus Saved signs on the television, you ask yourself if it's an accident. I asked someone else that today. Jesus is center stage in the gospel, but God chose Paul to keep the message from being aborted, to take the message after the resurrection and as the great tent maker for God, build the frame of the church. And then through history, those that have rediscovered Paul about every 400 years become the voice of freedom and vitality for the church. G. Campbell Morgan stands very high in influence on my life through the years. Others like Spurgeon's preaching better, or Dwight L. Moody's. But G. Campbell Morgan's Westminster pulpit has been at my side through all of my years of ministry. I don't think it's an accident. And that's the question I asked earlier. That we have been the instrument to preserve those Jesus Saved signs that tower over the skyline of Los Angeles again on top of the cathedral. It's not an accident that G. Campbell Morgan, one of the few places outside of Westminster Chapel, preached for many years under those Jesus Saved signs and stubbed out his cigar in a flower pot on the way to the pulpit. I have that flower pot. It's not for sale. Not for sale. Can't get it. So at least once a year, I get into his Westminster pulpit, and I've been doing it all week. Today, I want to continue his message, having talked of the problems of the religious life, the opposing forces of the religious life, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I preached my own message on it today. I now want to go slowly through a backdrop. If you haven't heard today's message, then hear it after this. We'll probably play it on a repeat to you that have satellite when we go off live time today. But sometime this week, you'll get a chance to hear it off satellite on shortwave. You'll hear this afternoon on shortwave again. I used parts of this message read from his book today, but now I'm going to take it piece by piece as an add-on to today's message to you that have heard it, and as a preliminary to today's message to you that are yet going to hear it. Okay? The problems of the religious life. Is the religious life necessary to this so what generation? He says, I confess to a great sense of difficulty in approaching this subject, resulting from the obviousness of the reply from my standpoint. To me, the question, is the religious life necessary? To me, the question is as though one should inquire, is it necessary to breathe? to eat, to act. Nevertheless, the question is asked, and if we're to deal with it, we need to get at the viewpoint of the man who asks it. We must understand his attitude of mind. The question moves on a much lower plane than the one we discussed last week, and I've gone through his messages last week, on the world, the flesh, and the devil, the opposing forces, in that there was recognition of those things, and the only question was one of fear, whether it were indeed possible to live the life of a Christian against such forces. In the inquiry we're taking now, the ultimate perfection of the religious life is not so much in sight as the conditions upon which that perfection can be realized. I'm sure, knowing Morgan's frame of reference, the perfection is used in the New Testament sense of completion. I think of a man who says, well, after all, is it necessary? You know, as an insurance policy, as an act of fear, just before you die, maybe. But is it necessary to live a religious life? Live it? No, I'm telling you. Catholic Church faced this, solved the problem for you in the Middle Ages. They'll do it for you, give you your dispensations, take your confessions, assign your Hail Marys, save you with the water, save you with the elements of the communion. The Church itself will do the saving of you. So why do you need to lead a religious life? Just burn your candles, do your Hail Marys, do your confessions, and let them take care of it for you. So the question is really, that's not Morgan, I'm talking now. The question is really pretty relevant, because everybody's trying to escape it and trying to rationalize a way around it. Why do I have to be a Christian anyway? Just give me a moment to take advantage of God's mercy in my last gasp. And the Catholic Church solved that one, too. If you didn't do it, they'll do it for you after you're dead. I'm telling you, they do it better than anybody. They made all the necessary accommodations. I think if a man says, well, after all, is it necessary? He's not referring to that highest ideal of the religious life, that ultimate requirement of God that man should be perfect or complete in his own being. He's rather standing face to face with the conditions which are imposed, the burden of it, the things that go along with it. When a man is asked to give himself to Christ and to begin the truly religious life. If a man is to live the religious life, he must submit to authority. There's the kicker. There's the killer. No pun intended. Literal. There's the stinger. He must submit to authority. Man's basically a rebel, and the father of all rebels is there to sweeten the choice. He must submit to authority, the one true final authority of the will of God. He must renounce all the things which he knows to be out of harmony with the will of God. It is necessary for him to cultivate the habits of a religious life. He must give himself to prayer. When partying is more fun. Does anybody think praying is more fun than partying? wonder how many of you that have been stumbling into the clutches of the world, the flesh, and the devil, have been keeping up your prayer life. And a prayer life goes beyond saying, Lord, help me. God ain't half as interested in helping you as he is in you helping him get done in you what he wants done. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be. When you pray, Jesus said, say this, Our Father. Well, fathers have, fathers are good, but they can also be a pain. You got to check in with them. Report to them. Even obey them on occasions. Our Father, who art in heaven. Well, that's comforting. So I better stop right there, because if I keep praying, he might look down at me. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. A little bit of praise, recognition of him. Thy kingdom come. Whoa! Why can't I pray, Our Father who art in heaven, who loves this little darling so much, my kingdom come, help me get it. Thy kingdom come. Why can't I say, I want what I want. Now help me, Father. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Sort of interesting. That comes before the basic necessity of life. Give us this day our daily bread. I got a lot of people who listen to me wish I'd talk about other things. They love Atlantis and the pyramids and the stars and Bermuda Triangle and walruses and leaf cutting ants and getting down to where they live. I'm starting to meddle now. I don't like that too much. To prayer, to the study of the Word. I wonder how much study of the Word goes on the part of those that fall in the clutches of the world, flesh, and the devil. All you do when you start bringing up the Word is make them mad. Don't preach to me. These are promise box studiers of the Word. Only find the good news. Don't give me any of this authority and thy will be done, Shinola. To perpetual watchfulness. As I said this morning, beware, stay on guard, lest any come to carry you off as booty or a captive. To service on behalf of others instead of yourself. You know, a whole world listens to this message. You can't escape it, folks. You have this responsibility now, like it or lump it. He chose you. Well, I don't want to do it. Get somebody else. Why didn't he do it for me when I was 40 instead of 65? Why'd I have to take on Cosmo Kratteros when I'm 65? Bad enough taking on the Arcos and the Exousias. Just when you thought you found a church that would take care of you and teach you and you could just become fat and overfed in Jesus, he hurls us to the world and gives you this burden. Pay the debt on faith center. Why shouldn't we just sit around the rest of our life and have weekly show and tell services where we tell the world how great we were and what we did? Why do we have to do anything now? We've already done more than most churches. Without these things, prayer, study of the Word, perpetual watchfulness, service, the religious life's never possible. There must be discipline and diligence. I want freedom and play. When a man faces these conditions, he asks, is the religious life necessary? That's the guy that asks it. You'll have trouble getting a yes to the question, is the religious life necessary, if it's couched in the terms of most preaching today? God's going to take care of you. You're His favorite. Make you rich and happy and prosperous and no problems until you die. And then you go into heaven, God's hero, because He has fattened you like a calf all these years. Sure, that kind of religious life is necessary. Just don't bring any cross-bearing into it. When a man faces these conditions of discipline and diligence, he asks, is the religious life necessary? I think what he means is, suppose I decline, what will happen? I think I'm going to ask you if you want me to continue. So get on telephone. If a man is to live the religious life, he must submit to authority. I'm going to read that again, reading from the Westminster Pulpit, G. Campbell Morgan. The question of this message is, the religious life necessary? If a man is to live the religious life, he must submit to authority. That's the bad part. The one true final authority of the will of God. He must renounce all the things which he knows to be out of harmony with the will of God, which is self at the beginning. It is necessary for him to... Look, what's the root of all sin? All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. We don't want a master. And we get tricked by Satan. Why wouldn't he agree with us and tell us we should be the master of our own destiny and do our own way? I mean, if you're looking for booty and captive to cater to our wants for the 70 years we're down here to be our total master throughout eternity, that's a pretty good trade-off, man. That's booty throughout eternity. I'm paying my price, but look at these I got out of God's hands. Misery loves company through the eons of time. His assets must tally up. Booty. That's the locale D had. He must renounce all things which he knows to be out of harmony with the will of God. It's necessary for him to cultivate the habits of the religious life. He must give himself to prayer. I have people telling me that they are following God, haven't prayed in years. Prayer isn't, I already said it, prayer is not saying, God help me. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's more important than give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory. Sorry, you can't have it. Thine is the glory. Forever. Give me your nonsensical New Age gibberish and call it prayer. Your self-serving baby cries, me, 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 and call it prayer. And prayer. Study of the Word. You know, we tell when the Word hits people and they don't want to study, they squirm. They don't want to hear it. Because it's like a mirror. Perpetual watchfulness. You have to look for the devil's tricks. The service on behalf of others rather than yourself. There must be discipline and diligence when a man faces these conditions. No wonder he asks. Is religious life necessary? I'll repeat what I said earlier. Just give me a minute before I die to parlay on God's mercy. When a man faces these conditions, he asks, is religious life necessary? I think what he means is, suppose I decline. What will happen? Just decide I don't want the religious life. I ain't cut out for it. Cuts in on my style. Ain't as much fun as the my life. I don't want to be religious. I suppose most of us in this age rather go into a restaurant as a rock star or Hugh Hefner or someone that qualifies for if he were of the world would love his own, than have to bear this black cloud around. I got a religious commitment. Why is it necessary? As I understand it, that's the question that we have to face. Such inquiry involves the necessity for restatement of the positive values of the religious life. And the positive is the revelation of the negative. In the proportion as we see what these values are, we shall see what is the result of living the irreligious life. That's your choice, one or the other. I propose to confine our consideration to the individual. Taking a human life and believing it to be spiritual in essence, I want to think of it in its continuity, but recognize the line of division at death. So in two parts, I ask this question. Is the religious life necessary for the life that now is? Is the religious life necessary for the life that is to come? Now, I have a feeling that about anybody would say, I'll take the religious life for the life that's to come. I don't have to bother with it here. But the question is not being religious in the life to come. The question is, is the religious life necessary for the life that now is? And is the religious life necessary now for the life that's to come? Is it going to affect the life that is to come? That's a fundamental question. Now, that's a very old-fashioned method of dealing with this thing, but I know of no other possible. I put the dividing line at death, simply because it's there. The fact of death must be admitted and taken into account. I know they say, this is me talking, there are two things you can't escape from, taxes and death. But the religious life is not as relevant to taxes. So death still stays in a category all its own. I repeat, the fact of death must be admitted and taken into account. It is sometimes affirmed that we have no right to appeal to the fear of man by preaching about death. The fear of man. I do not appeal to the fear of man when I speak about death. Are you afraid of death? Why? No man ought to be afraid of death. Anybody. Why do you not like to hear about death? I will tell you. In the words of inspired Scripture, I said it this morning in the message, the sting of death is sin. If sin's taken care of, there ain't no sting to death. That's why you do not like to hear about death, so I keep that dividing line, which is quite a simple and natural one, and one that we all have to admit. So let's deal with the first part. What are the values of religion in the life that now is? First of all, let me speak of the principle of the life of religion. One. Then of its method. Two. And so lead to the results. Three. Of the religious life. First, then, as to the principle. What is the principle of the religious life? If we're dealing with it here and now. Being mastered by the will of God. That's the principle. Back to my annual sermon on the potter's house. What's the principle? God's the boss. The potter's going to make you as he wants. Doth the clay talk back to the potter and say, what makest thou? Why me? I want to do my thing. I'm going to anticipate, Morgan. Go ahead. Be my guest. If I had less of God in me, I'd say, bleep on you. Go on out and be yourself. But there is life that is to come. And you want to fritter that away, gamble that that is not the case, you're a stupid jerk. How many hours have you spent studying the resurrection, asteroid Orpheus? God's given his witness. They asked for a sign, and Jesus said only one, sign of Jonah. He interpreted that in the belly of the whale, 72 hours and out as the type of the resurrection. Paul understood that. The philosophers on Mars Hill had so many idols around that hill sitting around, liking to hear their voice. And afraid they'd miss one, they had a monument to the unknown God. He said, I'll tell you who he is. The only one that was verified, set apart, ordained, given his credibility by raising from the dead. I said to the church this morning, any guru around recently that raised from the dead? Well, I don't want to believe that because it's impossible. Well, fool. Anything that important is worth a few hours of study.
This is the end of side one. For the rest of the teaching, please turn the tape over.